Well, good afternoon. Good morning. I'm still used to the 1 o'clock service. Good morning, church. Before we turn to the Word of God, just to mention that, well, first of all, how many of you went to the canoeing yesterday? Did a bunch of you go? I hope it went well. There was a lot going on yesterday. Oh, what happened to your arm? Oh, I see, from paddling, okay. Did people get thrown into the water?
Lots of splashing,
okay. Well, another thing, IFI is going to be taking a group of international students to Hocking Hills State Park in a couple weeks, and we have a lot of students that signed up that are wanting to go and very few drivers. So if you have 2 years of driving experience and would like to help out, if you could let me know, it would be a really great way of serving, building some new relationships, enjoying nature together. So please let me know about that. All right, well, we are in a series on one book in the Bible called The Song of Songs. And it is a wonderful book. Pastor Tim has been unfolding this book for us. I really appreciate when Pastor Tim came and we were discussing, he said, I feel like this is the direction that God has for us as a church to go more deeply in understanding the love of God, our relationship with God, our identity in Christ through this book. I said, this is great. The reality is that a lot of people do not like to preach on this book. In fact, sometimes I like in my research to consult with some other famous preachers to see what approach they take. And I discovered that some of the major speakers in America have never published a sermon on this book. Some of you might like John Piper. John Piper has no sermon on the Song of Songs. Some of you know Rich Nathan. Rich Nathan has no sermon on the Song of Songs. Chuck Swindoll, no sermon on the Song of Songs. It's interesting because there's lots of commentaries on the Song of Songs. It's one of the books there's one guy who wrote a 1,300-page commentary on the Song of Songs. And he said, I'm still trying to get down to the depths of this book. Yeah, so it's an interesting phenomenon. Now, I've been trying to encourage Pastor Tim to sing this song to you, because it's called a song, Song of Songs. It's poetry written. It was meant to be sung. It was sung at the time. It wasn't read. It was sung. And so I don't know why he hasn't done that yet. So I guess it's my turn. But I have only sung publicly twice. Once was at my wedding. Yeah, I said, oh, I'm going to do something special for my wife. I said, oh, this is really scary, you know, to sing at my wedding. But I did. I sang. I picked a song that you've probably never heard about. It's a beautiful love song called Let Us Climb the Hill Together. Very romantic song. But I'll read it to you. I won't sing it to you. I sang it for my wife, but I will not sing it for you. And I know, it says here, I have waited such a long time for this day to come, and all I have to give is the love that the Lord has given me. I pray that God will be with us and day by day guide us all the way. I know that there will be no strife with Jesus Christ, and He has made it possible for you and I to be one. I will make you queen of my home under the glory of the King. We will raise a family in a castle of love, and trust the Lord in everything. Let us sing to the King, Alleluia. In during times of trial, when things are hard to see, will you stand by me? With love, He can heal the pain. So let us climb the hill together. It's much nicer sung. It really is. There's emotion when it's sung. Yesterday, I attended a wedding. And at that wedding, the groom sang to his bride. It was so beautiful. And then they sang together. There's something special that happens when the love is expressed in a song. And so I wish I could sing this, but I think really what I discovered is that normally this was sung in Jewish weddings. They lasted for 7 days. And they had singers that were like, their job was to sing. And so every day when the bride and the groom would come out, they would start singing. I can imagine there was the sopranos and the tenors. You know, this, if you have been following this song, there's parts. The lover and the bride, and they go back and forth. And I can imagine the one group is singing, and then the other group is responding. And then there's a third group called the Daughters of Jerusalem, and then they want to get into it too. It must have been really neat to have these different groups singing for 7 days. So I really think we did sing. There's one song that's been written that I'm aware of that we sing, called His Banner Over Me Is Love, that we sing. But that's just one line. How about the whole song? How about the worship team taking this on? Now, it'd be great if we could sing this. But it is a song, and I'm sorry that we can't sing it. All right, let us pray. And you know, there's songs, sometimes when you sing them, you get a tune in your head and you can't get the tune out of your head. You know, it keeps coming back over and over again. They try and make commercials like that, these little type of melodies that just get lodged in your brain and you can't get rid of them. I pray the Word of God would be like that. That, you know, this is a song, I wish it was sung, but somehow it'd still get into us, like it'd just keep coming back and back to us. And we would enjoy it, and it wouldn't be distracting or bothersome, but it would be like sweet. And it would be like bringing joy to our hearts. So let's pray, before we read it, that God would get it into our hearts today. Lord, we thank you that your word is pure. And can bring joy to our hearts and light to our eyes. And your joy, your word is transforming and powerful. And so we pray, Lord, bring your spirit to bear on your word today, that it would be powerfully impressed on our minds and our hearts, that we might learn to follow you, to receive your love, to dwell in you. Lord, come and do your work in us through your word today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're up to chapter 4. And we'll go ahead and I guess I'll have you help me advance it slide by slide here. But starting in verse 1 of chapter 4. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from the hills of Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn, coming up from the washing. Each has its twin. Not one of them is alone. Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built with courses of stone. On it hang 1,000 shields, and all of them shields of warriors. Your breasts are like two fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle that browse among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee, I will go to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of incense. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Descend from the crest of Amana, from the top of Senir, the summit of Hermon, from the lion's dens and the mountains' haunts of leopards. Well, what's the theme of this part of the Song of Songs? You see it in verse 1 and verse 7, kind of bookending this statement, you are beautiful, my darling. The theme of this is, you are beautiful. And that is a great thing to see, that this lover is speaking to his bride these words, you are beautiful. But what's great is he doesn't just give a general statement that you're beautiful. Then he gets really specific. He starts at the top and starts to work down. And he lists 7 things he identifies as beautiful. And you know, in the Bible, 7 is a picture of perfection. And so he's combining this idea of perfection with the 7 list of attributes that he sees in this woman, in this bride that he sees as beautiful. And so we can see that there's something we can learn through this. We're going to, of course, go to the spiritual application that God does this for us. But we want to also see in the natural realm that the principles are the same, that God wants lovers to be able to express verbally their affirmation toward one another and to speak words about what we see in the other person. And let's look at these seven parts that he sees beautiful about this woman. First of all, the eyes. He says, the eyes are like doves. You know, I don't know how many of us see doves, but doves are beautiful birds, and they have these fluttering eyes. And doves are a picture of purity. And so he sees that her eyes are like these fluttering birds. And he starts with the eyes. You know, it's really important because the Bible says that the eyes are where the light comes from. And so he's focused first on her eyes and sees them as being on him. And the eyes are beautiful. So he recognizes her eyes. And then he goes down and looks at her hair and compares them to goats. Now, guys, one of the things I've come to discover is that some men have difficulty expressing themselves with women. And some husbands have difficulty doing that too. I think it partly is due to the male brain with a separation that occurs between the right and left brains. It's partly because of fallen humanity and men's sinfulness. It's partly because there's no courses at OSU on how to speak to your wife with words of affirmation. There's lots of reasons for it. But, you know, guys, try this one tonight. Go home and look at your wife and say, you know, you remind me of goat's hair. Just make her feel special. Well, you know, this is set in a context where on the hills they would have these goats, and the goats actually would have dark hair. And then they would come down, and it was like when they were coming down the hills and this flock of goats coming down, like the waving of this black movement down the hill. And he said, it's so beautiful seeing these goats just descend and moving together in this like black stream. And he says, wow, your hair is just like that, just like these beautiful, and the goat's hair was silky. So it does mean something, you know. We're not raised, most of us, with goats. We don't go down, you know, OSU and see the goats going along. So, but for her, this would have been something really nice. Oh, he thinks my hair is like goats. Really nice. It was beautiful. It was really beautiful. Okay. So he starts with her eyes, moves down to her hair, then goes down to her teeth, you know. And he says, wow, you got all your teeth. It's good. It's good. I like that. I like that. And he says, not only that, but, you know, they're straight and they like match one another. Now, this is before orthodontics and this is before cosmetic dentistry and stuff. This is like phenomenal to have those type of teeth. And so he sees her teeth. And then, not only does he see her teeth, but he sees the lips around the teeth. And he says, wow, they're like roses. They're red. I don't know if she had lipstick on or what, but they were red. They're like scarlet. And he says, they're really beautiful. They're, you know, he's before talked about kissing the lips. He likes her lips. Almost like a bow. It's around a ribbon, like a red bow. He says, that's what it's like. It's like a ribbon just inviting me. And then he talks about her temples or her cheek area, that they're also kind of rosy and plump. And he says, that's really beautiful too to me. I just love to see the color in your cheeks. And then he goes down to her neck. He's getting lower. right? And he says, this neck is just like a tower. It's like, wow, strong, beautiful. And it's got this jewelry around it, you know, these necklaces that are there mounted up all the way down. He says, wow, it's just like a tower, like the Tower of David. And slender, long. I don't know if she had a stretched neck or what, but it was maybe she made it look that way. You know, you can make your neck look long by putting stuff on it. But he liked it. He said, that's just be like the Tower of David, you know. David was known for having this place of stronghold that was tall and strong. And the whole city of Jerusalem was considered like that. But David was, of course, the great king. It's interesting, of course, in Song of Songs that Solomon is referred to and David is referred to. And then it gets down to the breasts. And, you know, there's no shame here. There's no problems here. Hey, this is good. He notices her breasts. I'm glad he doesn't start with the breasts, you see. If other guys were doing this, they would have written started with the breasts. But he started at the top and moved down. That's very good. And he says they're playful. That's basically what he's saying. He's like they're like fawns jumping around. Hey, I'm not making this up. This is there. You just got to read it. Okay. It's good. This is his wife, and he's rejoicing in her, and he's really happy. And so he concludes again. You are beautiful. You're altogether beautiful. So these compliments, you know, we have to feel them. It's not just a description, but he's using colors and movement. He's starting with the white doves and the black goats and the white sheep and the red lips and the rosy cheeks. I mean, he's getting into it. It's just like, wow, this is a cacophony of colors. And it's beautiful. And then he's not only saying this, there's all this movement. There's the goats coming down and the sheep going up and the doves fluttering. And it's like, whoa, everything is sensory here. Colors and movement and wow. I mean, this is like what it says in Genesis when God created the woman and gave him to the man. The Hebrew word is like, wow. You know, it's like, whoa, this is really good. Yeah. And that's what this guy is doing. He's rejoicing in the goodness that he sees in this woman, in the way that God has created her. Now, let me ask you, do you think this woman feels like a sex object? No. Do you think that he's using flattery, insincere compliments? No, not at all. Do you really think this woman had no blemishes, no extra fat, no imperfections? What do you think? I doubt it. Maybe she used, you know, makeup and things like that. And I think this is more about the way that he sees her than the actual physical perfection. I don't think he's like found the perfect 10 in the world. Because reading this could be really intimidating for a woman, I think. You know, like, yeah, he found the perfect 10. And maybe guys could say, oh, I want to find a perfect 10. Listen, the perfect 10 is not about a perfect body. But he's seeing her as beautiful. He's looking at her without any perfection. She's altogether beautiful because he's seeing her with the eyes of love. And I think this is really important to see that love perfects the person that's being looked at through the eyes of the person who's looking. And this man is perfecting his wife. And it's a beautiful picture. He's affirming her because of the way that he sees her. I read the true story of a woman who was loved by a man, and she was always self-conscious about her legs. She felt like her legs were like tree stumps. And she just felt really bad about the way her legs looked. And her lover would say to her, you have beautiful legs. And she always thought, no, he's not meaning that. He's just, I don't know, that was the way it was. He said, you know, your legs are beautiful. And one day she finally got to meet his mom. And his mom was in a wheelchair, and her legs were all shriveled and twisted because of a disease that she had. And all of a sudden, she realized that when he saw her legs, he saw them as good. And they were perfect to him. And you know, that is the way it is. It's not a matter of some standard that has to be met and the outward beauty. Because if that's the way it is, which of us are adequate? You know, even those that win the beauty contest feel inadequate. It's not about that. It's about the lover looking with eyes of love. And so it's a beautiful thing when we can speak to those through the eyes of love, that we want to know love. But let's talk about, so this is real. This guy is doing this for this woman. And by the way, it goes back and forth. If you remember, previous to this, she was praising him. In fact, this goes back and forth in the Song of Songs. It's like she praises her king, and then the king, who is her lover and her shepherd, says, I'm going to praise you. That's so good. You know, we praise the Lord. I know that part. I know the part about that we're supposed to praise the Lord. That's good. Yes, He is worthy of our praise. No doubt about it. We should give Him all the honor that's due to His name. We should declare His goodness. We should point out His perfections. Is it possible that God would do the same? That He would want to praise us? Is there anything praiseworthy in us? Could He say something good about us? I mean, the reality is that many of us dwell in a place, God couldn't say something about me like this. He couldn't sing over me. The reality is, this is the heart of God, to speak those words of affirmation, to call us His beautiful ones. Now we can go back, we have to keep going back to this text in Ephesians, because it is the foundation guide of understanding the Song of Songs as being the allegorical picture of the relationship that Jesus has with us. And in Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church. That's the idea, beautiful church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That's exactly what it's saying in Ephesians chapter 5. It's saying that's what Jesus is looking at His church. He's calling us beautiful, and He's in the process of perfecting us so that on the day we meet Christ, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, may God sanctify you through and through. May your entire body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called you is faithful, and He will do it. God is going to bring us to that place of perfection and beauty, and right now He's calling it out in us by speaking His word into our life. And so this is really the beautiful picture. This man, this lover who's speaking, say, you are beautiful. And let me tell you about your beauty. That's what God is doing to us. Now, how do we become beautiful? How does He see the beauty in us? We've learned, first of all, that the beauty comes when we're in relationship with Christ and our sins are forgiven. And we've participated in the resurrection of Christ, that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And so part of the beauty that God sees in us is the character of Christ. He sees the righteousness of Christ covering us. And so He can say, we are beautiful. Because we are in Christ, who is already the perfection of God. But not only that, that is true. That is the essential. But there is this work of holiness. There is, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And anyone who follows God, God is working holiness into our lives. That's why it says that just as Christ loved the church and washing her with the word. This washing process. And by the way, that it says through the word. That's why, again, for husbands, it says that we need to learn to speak the word to our wives. We need to learn how to speak the words of edification and encouragement and affirmation. That's what Christ is doing through the word to us. And so husbands need to do that, it says. Husbands need to be like Christ. And so, guys, we need to learn this. This is not easy. It's somewhere in here, but I'm going to say it now. Husbands, when was the last time you told your wife she's beautiful? When was the last time, sincerely, you said, "You are beautiful, my darling"? I did it yesterday because I knew I had to preach today. No. I was convicted. I need to do it more. Really. Every day. I'm starting every day. It's a beautiful challenge, husbands here. But this is what Christ is doing to us. And I'm just so glad we have a Savior like this who's washing us with His Word. And He says, "Look at that. Look at how beautiful that is." So I think we need to go back through this list of seven things and see how it relates to holiness. Because the Bible tells us to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Really, when God is talking about beauty, He's looking at the character of Christ. He's looking at holiness. That's what beauty is in the inner person. And so God is wanting all of us to be beautiful because He wants all of us to be holy. Holiness is beautiful. That's why when we worship the Lord, we're not worshiping something abstract. We're not worshiping some idea, some philosophy. We're worshiping a person who is beautiful in holiness. If you don't get a picture of God being beautiful, you know, holiness, yes, we fall down before Him in awesome wonder, but it's partly because He's beautiful. Right? We ought to be captivated with the beauty of God. He is the one who, and all the perfections are there. Every character, every angle of God is perfect. And it's so beautiful. If you like the beauty He's created in this world, all beauty is a reflection of God. There's nothing beautiful, nothing, no sunset, no sunrise, no musical composition, no sculpture that comes close to the vastness of the beauty of God. And so our hearts are to be elevated when we see God say, "Oh God, You're so beautiful. And You're beautiful because You're holy." And so our beauty also comes as holiness is worked into our life. And so let's look at these seven things again and see what is it that God is, how God is speaking beauty over our lives. First of all, the dove's eyes. Again, the doves in the Bible are a picture of purity. They are a picture of single eye. You know, Jesus says we're supposed to have a single eye, single focus, purity of heart in that way. And it's also a type of spiritual insight. God says if your whole eye is filled with light, your whole body is full of light. And so we need to have that understanding that what God is giving us is spiritual perception, spiritual insight. He's giving us the ability to look at things wholeheartedly, Him wholeheartedly, singly, with insight. And that comes through, again, the Word of God. Holiness always is through the Word of God coming into our life. And so we want to see things from God's perspective. And that's what He sees. When He's looking at us, "I see your purity that's coming into your life. I see your singleness of devotion. I see your spiritual insight that I've given to you. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to me." All right. Now the hair. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about hair, but when it does, it's often pictured in terms of consecration. It's always interesting to me about Samson, you know. God said, "Now don't cut your hair. Because from birth, you're consecrated to me. And this hair where your power is," you know, there was nothing magical about Samson's hair that gave him power. But it was a picture of the consecration he was to have to God. And that's why it was so sad when, because of lust in his life, that his hair got cut off and he lost his strength because he was no longer consecrated to God. And women's hair in the scriptures talked about in that way as a covering and as a sign of submission. And that is a picture for us again that the holiness that is in our life comes about as a result of our consecration and submission to God. That every time we are saying, "God, I am wholly Yours. Whatever You want, whatever Your will is, that's what I'm going to do. Lord, all of my abilities, all of my resources, all of my funds, all of my time, I'm giving them to You. Lord, my desire, my goals, I don't want those for myself. I want Your goals for me." That's consecration. And that's holiness. And God says, "Oh, You're beautiful, my darling. I see your consecration. And it's beautiful to me. I'm putting this in. I see your submission to my will. It's beautiful to me." So He speaks beauty over our life because of the holiness that He's working in through consecration and submission. Okay. And our teeth. He says, oh, you got spiritual teeth. You know? What are these spiritual teeth? You know, the teeth are used to eat the food. And so God tells us to feed on His Word. He tells us to chew His Word. Meditation is like chewing the Word of God. It's like the cow with a cud that brings the food back up and chews it again, swallows it again, and brings it back up and chews it again. That's exactly the picture that meditation is in the Scripture, of that cow doing that. And that's what we're to do with the Word of God. We're to take it in, bring it back up, chew on it some more, swallow it, bring it back up to our memories. Oh, I want to go over that again. Yeah, oh, there's more in there. Oh, yeah. Digest it. Get it in. When we're meditating on His Word, and we're becoming, so we can put it into practice in our lives, God says, oh, that's so beautiful. You are so beautiful, my darling. The holiness that I see coming through the meditation and through your ingesting, for you chewing on the Word of God, it is good. And then the lips. The lips that declare the praises of God. That in our holiness, lips that offer the sacrifice of praise, it is beautiful to God. He says, oh, I see you praising me. That is beautiful. You see, Jesus is speaking beauty over us because there's a holiness that's being produced in our life. And getting down, where we go after lips? Okay, temples. Temples, cheek area. You know, the Bible says here it's compared to pomegranates that are cut open. Now, that was another one. Yeah, you can. Why don't you try that one, husbands, too? Say, oh, your cheeks are like pomegranates cut open. What? What? What are you talking about? But, you know, a pomegranate was a juicy fruit that was full of seeds. And when you cut it open, it was, you know, this beautiful ruby color. And so being cut open, you know, and it's all there. And He's saying, and this is a picture of, again, the fruitfulness that comes in our life when the overflow of the life of God is in us. You know, God, Jesus said, if you abide in me, that you will bear much fruit. When we remain in Christ, there's the life of Christ that's coming up out of us. It's overflowing. And here this picture of beauty is, he says, when you're abiding in me and when my life is flowing in you, it's beautiful. I love to see that. Oh, you're so beautiful today. When you come to me and my life goes in you, I mean, it is true. We are created in the image of God, and so we have God's, you know, picture in us, and he says, that's beautiful. But when the life of Christ is being produced more in us, and this character is being changed, it's beautiful. So we need to see that. He is saying, every work that he's doing in us is beautiful. Every place where we are having Christ formed in us is beautiful. And he's going through specifically here, in these body parts, to give us images that we can lay hold of so we can know how God is speaking praise over us, how he's singing over us. Oh, it's good. And the temple of the scarlet thread is the picture, again, of the redeeming work. And then he gets down to the neck. And the neck is a picture also of submission. You can either be stiff-necked, which is not good. You know, God came to people and said, you stiff-necked people. They wouldn't turn their head. He was trying to get them to turn. They said, no. And it's a terrible thing to have a neck that will not turn when God tells you to turn. And so this is a picture, this holy neck. This is a neck that's in submission, says, I will turn this way and that way, wherever God calls me to go. My neck will be soft. It's movable. It's pliable. I'm ready to do God's will. God says, that's beautiful. I like that. All of these are related to one another. I mean, it's a theme here. But he's unpacking it for us in these body parts to give us an image and a picture of how he sees us beautiful. And it's like a tower. And it's a tower that's ready to do spiritual battle because it's got the armament on it. It's got the things ready. It's associated with the Tower of David. And what God says is beautiful is when we are ready to go into spiritual warfare, We are ready to face the tests and to come out victorious. And every victory that we win that gives praise to God, he says, that's beautiful. I saw you win that by my strength, and it's beautiful. Come on now. Yes. Right? Yes. And God's making all of us beautiful. He wants to make you beautiful. You say, how am I becoming beautiful? Every test you faced, every spiritual challenge, and you win it by the power of God. God says, that's beautiful. Now we can all be beautiful. And God wants to speak beauty over us. You need to be hearing this today. You need to be hearing the voice of God saying, you are beautiful, my beloved. You are beautiful, my darling. This is God's word for us, not just for this maiden in this story. You know, it's not just the human love, it is the divine love. Amen. And then we get down to the breasts. And I think a good way of looking at this is the twins of love and faith that go together. You don't want to have a one-breasted person, you know? You don't want to have just love or faith. They go together. And when they're working together, and when they're there, they give the beautiful picture. And God wants us to be people that are increasing in love, increasing in faith. And it is the way that God's praise will come, because it's His love and faith that are being produced in our life. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we go to increasing faith, God says, that's beautiful. I see that action of faith. It's beautiful. When He sees us increasing in love, sacrificial love, just like husbands laying down their lives for their wives as Christ love the church and lay down His life for her, that type of sacrificial love, that's beautiful. And every time you make that decision to love people at the expense of your own time, at the expense of your own money, at the expense of your own goals, and you're doing it for Jesus Christ because you want to express the love of God to the stranger, to the poor, to those that are in need, to those that are afflicted, to those that are troubled of heart, God is saying, that is beautiful. We need to hear this word of God. Now, what happens after He speaks these words of affirmation? By the way, it appears to me in this song that she's just listening. She's not interrupting. She says, oh, no, don't say that to me. You know, oh, no, it's not really like that. And she's just taking it in. I like it. She interrupted Him during the song. That's really terrible, you know, when someone's singing, you interrupt the song. And I think she just needs to drink it in. And sometimes when we're going before the Lord and we're, you know, talking to the Lord and in our quiet time, when we're quiet and God is ready to speak to us and He begins to sing over us, we just need to take it in. We need to hear, David, you are beautiful, my child. You are beautiful, my son, my daughter, my lover. And hear those words of affirmation come to us. And just drink them in. Just drink them in. You know, on Friday, I met a woman who used to be at OSU, and she was going to be leaving to go to another part of the country, and she wanted to come and get baptized, a young Chinese woman who came to Christ about 3 years ago. And when she came back, I hadn't seen her for a while. And her face was very radiant. It was very bright. It was really sweet. And I commented to her. I said, you know, you seem very radiant. And she said to me, you know, when I became a Christian, I knew something about the love of God. But now I know more of the love of God. Now it's getting really into my heart that God loves me. And I say, yeah, that is it. She understood. She said, you know, it's really hard to get the idea that God loves me unconditionally. That it's not based on what I do. It's just based on His heart. I said, wow, if you're getting that, that's it. And that's what's trying to come through this story here. But let's go to the last part. Because at the end, He says to her, come with me. Come with me. And so after He praises her, after He speaks these words of beauty, He says, come with me to the heights. You know, this is what He said before. The calling of God in our lives doesn't change. It's always a calling to join with Him. You know, I just read again in Mark chapter 3, it says when He called the 12 and appointed them as apostles to be with Him and to send them out to preach and cast out demons. This is always the calling of God in our lives, to first be with Him and then to participate with Him in the work that He's doing in the world. And this is the calling again He's saying to His bride, listen, come with me to the heights where we're going to do the spiritual work. We're going to do the spiritual warfare, because I'm in the heavenly places, seated above every authority, and I want you to engage with me in the extension of my kingdom over the world by being in these heavenly places with me and interceding and praying with me, seeing what I'm going to do from these heavenly places, and then engaging with me in the work. Wow. That's what God is calling us to do. And so we get the, you know, we drink it in, he's singing the song over us, and then he says, let's go. Oh, I got work to do. Come with me. Say, oh, I like the part about being with you. Just don't send me out to the demon stuff, you know? I don't know. Oh, no, he wants all of us to engage, to be with him, and to send us out to preach and to cast out demons. Wow. I like that. I do. Because we get to participate with him. And since he has all authority and all power in heaven and earth, and he's willing to share that authority and power with us, why would we not go in his name? Amen. And go with him? Wow, okay. Well, that's basically it. So let's ask these questions. Let's go, again, the human question. Today the emphasis is a little bit more on the brothers. Because it's going to be reversed in this song. We're going to go back to the sisters again. But brothers, you guys who are single yet, if you want to woo a woman, know how to speak nicely. Now, don't go up to a woman and say, "Yo, you're beautiful," okay? That's not what you should do. This is reserved for the bride, okay? You know? But husbands, particularly, listen. Go home today and tell your wives they're beautiful. Now, don't do it because of me. Don't say, oh, the pastor told me I'm going to do it and you're beautiful. No. Do it because you see the Word of God calling you to be this type of husband. And secondly, again, the whole church, all of you who know Christ, would you hear again this message from God's Word that God is setting His love on you by calling you beautiful, that he is making you without spot, without wrinkle. I like that, without wrinkle. You know, wedding dresses, you know, they iron them so there's nothing. I like being ironed out, you know. God says, you're wrinkled, I'm going to iron you. That's part of the holiness process. When we got the wrinkles, he's ironing them out. And he says, and blameless. God is making you beautiful, church. You are a beautiful church, and he's making you in his beauty, the beauty of holiness. So will you respond to his call to come with him? Will you come up to the heavenly places, the higher places, these mountaintops that God is calling us to, that we can be with him and participate in his work? And it's going to come out of because you have a love relationship with God. You know, this aspect of serving God, it's not about grit. It's not about a principle, I should do this, I should serve the Lord. It's a response to his love, and it's because he calls us into a beautiful relationship. We should be eagerness. Now listen, if you're not eager about serving Christ and sharing the gospel and making disciples, I think it's because you don't have this vision yet. It's because you don't understand yet this aspect of how God is making you beautiful and calling you beautiful. So ask for more. Seek him in this way. Receive these words. And let us go on together, hearing God singing this song over us. Today he's singing, you're beautiful. You're altogether beautiful. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for writing these words down for us. Not just so we'd see somebody else's love story, but we'd see our love story. The love story with you. The song that you write about our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being so passionate in your love for us. And that when you look at us as your church, you call us beautiful. Thank you. But we see our imperfections. Lord, I know, Lord, that sometimes that's hard. I say, no, Lord, you know, there's all this junk. But thank you that you speak a prophetic word over us. You speak the things that are not yet as though they are, You speak a desirable future into our lives. You are speaking us into blamelessness, into holiness. And we thank you. We want to receive that today. Thank you, Lord.